You are now listening to
Radioactive. Hey there, my name is April Reyes.
And I'm Melissa Takai. Thanks for tuning into Radioactive.
Melissa, when you hear the word crime, what do you think of?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is youth. I feel like young people are the most impacted by the criminal justice system because they're easily influenced by anything and everything that happens to them. How about you?
I have a lot of thoughts and experiences, which I'll share later on in the podcast. But first, let's hear from other people.
Hi, I'm Hannah Witter.
I'm Holly Judah Valdez.
Okay, Megan McAllister.
Okay, so when I say the word crime, what do you think about?
I think of the youth, I think of police, I think of races, blacks, Latinos, Middle Eastern Muslims. Like, they've been treated as not a human being.
Streets with a lot of poverty and, like, where people are just trying to get by. Guns and jail time.
I think crime rates are really based on race.
Whether they're more guilty or not, they're just have a bigger target on them.
I do believe teenagers commit crimes just because they're not fully aware of themselves yet, but I do also believe that adults commit just as much crimes, but they don't get away with it. Like, I've committed crimes, but I've never been, I guess, caught for them. So I guess I don't know if you'd call it a crime.
Aside from jaywalking, I might have stolen a bottle of nail polish when I was really young, but that was before I knew better. Other than that, I don't believe I have.
One time, I stole a piece of candy from PCC. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was like probably 25 cents each.
How old were you?
6 or 7.
But if you're an adult, they'll stop you, ask for your ID, call the cops. You know what I'm saying? And once you go to the judge, it goes on your record.
Hey, April, do you think youth easily get away with committing crimes?
In certain cases, yes. Because adults think that we're still learning right from wrong. What do you think, Melissa?
To be honest, I don't think so. I always hear about young people getting into trouble, whether I hear it on nationwide news or through school. So I think it happens quite often.
Right. No one wants youth incarcerated, but when a youth person commits a crime, detention is one of the few options they have. As of late 2016, the current juvenile detention center on Alder Street is old and the county believes a new building is needed. The new building, the Children and Family Justice Center, is currently on its way, but it's also sparking controversy with critics calling it another racial institution. Radioactive's Natalie Newcomb went to the current detention center and took a tour to see the building for herself.
On a cold, windy morning, I arrived at the King County Juvenile Detention Center. Besides the jail, it holds many services, such as court services, drug treatment, and intervention programs. From the outside, it looks like an old concrete jailhouse. I expected the inside to be more family-friendly, with spaces for families to discuss important matters in private. So when I walked in, I was surprised by what I saw. I walked into a lobby with rows of black chairs where families waited to get helped. It felt like I had walked into the hall outside of my high school principal's office, unsure of what was going to happen. The lobby is often crowded, but that morning, it was empty. I saw a few staff members walking through. Occasionally, a family would come in and talk with their lawyer or counselor right in the open lobby. King County's Ryan Pinto was with me on my tour. He explains that the lack of privacy is just one of many reasons why the county needs a new facility.
Our drug court staff are walking around meeting with youth and families, and you know, they're talking about some pretty sensitive stuff, right? Think of the conversations that don't happen and the opportunities that are missed, because I wouldn't want to say something, you know, about my parents, or as a parent, I wouldn't want to say something about my child in a lobby full of 50 people.
Another privacy issue Pinto adds is when youth are brought in from the King County Jail. They're led through the main lobby while wearing an orange jumpsuit and shackles, for everyone to see. As I was walking around the building, I saw a water fountain. I tried to push it, and nothing came out.
Yes, it's like completely clogged and pretty disgusting.
The building's water pipes are old and rusting, making the water brown. Despite the building's condition, county officials say they've managed to reduce the number of young people in detention. They've done it using a practice called restorative justice. It promotes self-reflection, family counseling, and mentors to help them understand their crime. These are just some of the reasons the county believes a new building is needed. But not everyone agrees with the county's restorative justice model of rehabilitating youth. EPIC is one of the groups leading the fight against the new building. EPIC stands for Ending the Prison Industrial Complex. They want the building gone altogether. That's from a 2015 Seattle City Council meeting. Sinead Brown is a leader of EPIC. She says King County's restorative justice programs are centered on broken youth who need fixing.
And so what we are proposing when we say build community, a sense of place, is that we're planting seeds based on humanity and who we are and what we need for our kids to thrive and grow.
Brown says the real issue they are fighting is systematic racism in the prison system. That's because a disproportionate amount of youth of color end up in jail. She says a new building will not fix these issues.
We are not for, you know, a surface level approach to these systemic issues. We don't co-sign any program that is embedded in a racist institution that is not intentionally and directly addressing racism.
EPIC sued the county, saying the ballot was misleading and did not mention the detention center. EPIC lost the suit, but appealed. Back in the building on my tour, I met with Alexa Vaughn with King County. She told me the county is aware of the racial disproportionality and is working on it.
King County, of course, is very concerned about the racial disproportionality in detention. You know, we're proud that we've brought down the total number of all youth in detention, but we recognize that there's still this disproportionality left over. So we're very conscious of it, and we're doing our best with the programs that we're investing in to try to reduce that problem.
Vaughn adds the county and the critics of the project actually have something in common. Both groups want to see fewer youth in detention. The new building is set to be built by 2020, and construction has already begun. I asked to see the detention portion of the building, but my request is denied because I'm under 18, even though many of the youth that are jailed are the same age or younger than me. As I walked out of the building and into the cold, I looked back at the concrete building. Then I noticed the brightly colored mural by the entrance. In big letters, it says, "Never lose hope." Hope that youth will continue to improve their lives for the better. For Radioactive, I'm Natalie Newcomb.
Natalie's story reminded me of when I would always get detention or get grounded, but it never stopped me from doing what I wanted to do.
Why did you keep doing that?
The thing is that people would always tell me what I did wrong, but they didn't tell me why it was wrong.
Yeah, I personally think that's a problem in the criminal justice system when it comes to youth. It's important that kids understand what they did so they can actually learn from their mistakes.
Natalie's story reminded me of when I was 14 and dating a senior. He asked me out to prom, but I couldn't afford anything, so I decided to steal some earrings from a store. I got caught. So when the cop came and got me, he decided not to handcuff me because he said that I seemed like a nice girl. And on the ride to the police station, he asked me to tell him about myself and why I chose to steal those earrings.
So why did that experience make a big impact on you?
Because by the time I got to the police station, all the cops were actually really kind to me and trying to understand where I was coming from. One of them said I was good enough to not go behind bars and gave me pizza and soda instead. I also saw them eating pizza and soda too, so I felt like I wasn't excluded. Ever since that experience, I haven't stolen anything.
Man, that really just shows how important it is for people to treat each other with respect. It can completely turn someone's life around.
Absolutely. Let's hear what other people have to say.
I just feel that America, where we live, it's not defending the youth as they should or voicing the youth's words as they should, even though our future rests in our hands. And basically, they're not really trying to improve it. they're taking away from the success America could be with the youth.
When you're mad, you're not in your right mindset. So we need to find a way to diffuse our hatred for things, and we need to come at it in with a clear mindset. You know, the quote, "Let me sleep on it." You know what I'm saying? Like, just sleep, basically just sleep on your thoughts. Just take a break from them for a couple hours, come back and see what you think. Take a break for a couple days, go offline, don't read anything, come back, see what you think. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think we would have to do to become peaceful.
Even though there are varying perspectives regarding youth and crime, I think one thing's for certain. We want youth to get out of the criminal justice system.
I agree. I believe that we need to do everything we can to keep youth off crimes and into thinking critically about themselves and the world around them.
I think Radioactive has been a great program for that. Radioactive strives to amplify the voices of young people through public radio journalism.
So please support us by checking out our website at kuw.org/radioactive. You can also find us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media or on Twitter at KUW Radioactive.
Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes too. If you want, leave us a review there because it helps us get noticed.
And before we go, we want to thank Maya Kant and Sokina Kale for getting some of the interviews that were featured in this podcast.
We'd also like to thank Jamala Henderson, Jenny Asarno, and Hassan Abdi for supporting us in the making of this episode.
Thanks for listening to
Radioactive
Youth Media.